We're doing Chafetz Chaim. We're up to the third chapter, Klal Dalid. Bichlal zeh ivar isur lashon hara, mi ben adam lamakom, v'tikun al chetze, v'oid bet seifim. We will discuss what is the prohibition of lashon hara, and not only what our friend might consider lashon hara, but what does Hashem teach us is lashon hara. How do we fix it? We're going to see 12 paragraphs on this. Asur lesaper al chavero, afilu shelo befanav. We are prohibited from speaking about someone else, even if he is not present, v'hu emet. And even if what we're saying is true, davar sheyitbaze al yedei zeh, something that will shame him. So we have ample examples of this, where we can mention something about someone, and what we're saying is 100% true, and it's going to embarrass him, even though he's not present. V'lo mibay bedvarim sheknai ba'alma, and of course, it's superfluous to say that simple things that are shameful you shouldn't say. For example, to mention what his parents used to do or currently do, or what his relatives do, or to mention what he used to do. Meaning, he has a history, but why should we mention that? It doesn't matter if what he did was things that were prohibited between him and his creator. He used to eat non-kosher. He used to desecrate Shabbos. So he's not affecting other people. He's affecting between him and his creator. Or things between him and his fellow man. He used to be a gangster. He used to be a robber. So it doesn't matter if we're going to mention things from someone's history that are ben adam la makom or ben adam la chavero, kevan shu mitnehega taka shura asur leganoto. Being that now he is behaving properly, it is prohibited to shame him. Velashon hara mikre, and this is called lashon hara. But I'm telling the truth. So, we've seen this many, many, many times. We've had many students who had all kinds of histories, and they didn't say it, and we didn't say it. And we've had students whose parents had all kinds of histories, and we didn't say it, and they didn't say it. And we had many times students whose parents were Jews who became missionaries, and they were busy converting Jews, trying to get Jews to leave Judaism, and their children were chozer b'tshuva. You could imagine dancing at the kid's wedding, holding his father's hand, right? This is a Jew who's trying to convince other Jews for J. You know, it's not. But no one knew. We didn't tell, and they didn't tell. That's lashon hara. It would be prohibited for us to tell. There are things which we would think there's nothing to be embarrassed about. But we will see that there's another criterion, which is, does something harm someone? And sometimes when you're going to say something, it can be harmful to the person. Even saying that a person is a chozer b'tshuva, there's nothing to be embarrassed about, but maybe some people are cautious about dating someone who's a chozer b'tshuva. So it's factual, but who said I have to mention it now? Maybe down the road. Certainly down the road. If the relationship develops, then the guy will bring it up because that's part of who he is. But let's say a person's parents are chozerim b'tshuva. Why is that anyone's business? Saying that, and sometimes people will say, I'm scared of marrying into such a family. I'm not saying they're not entitled to have their preferences, but that's a reason why a person might prefer to keep that information private. And so saying something about someone, when you're saying his parents are chozrim b'tshuva, what you're saying is, his parents once upon a time did not keep Shabbat. His parents once upon a time did not eat kosher, whatever the extent, but that's why it's not so obvious that there's room to say someone is a chozer b'tshuva. A person wants to say it about himself. There's nothing to be embarrassed about, something to be proud about. Now, when people hear I teach at Machon Meir, they sometimes ask me, are you a chozer b'tshuva? And I say, I'm not big enough yet. I'm working on it. Maybe one day I'll get there. You know, I have things to do tshuva on. I was fortunate. I was born into a family where I grew up keeping Torah and mitzvot. It's a big deal. I keep Torah and mitzvot. It's very nice. It's important, but it's not as big as someone who did not grow up there. You know, it's a badge of honor. But that doesn't mean that other people will see it that way. Same thing with giyur. You'll say, there's nothing wrong with being a ger. You could be proud that you're a ger. That's true. But you know what? A ger does not have a father who's Jewish and a grandfather and a great-grandfather who's Jewish, and he might not want everyone to know that.
Why not?
Because people are sometimes prejudiced, whether we like it or not.
Maybe that's good that you've been a boyfriend.
Maybe, but maybe the girl isn't and her parents are.
Actually, maybe it's still not a right match if their parents don't like it.
That's the person's prerogative. I had numerous instances where guys did giyur, and no one in the department knew they did giyur. Everyone thought they were born Jewish because they, you know, I didn't know. You know, when I don't know who's in the giyur department unless guys tell me. I don't know the difference between the students, who's Jewish and who isn't. I really don't know. When guys tell me, that's when I know. Otherwise, I don't know.
It's not really important.
With regards to certain issues, it could be important, I'm saying. If you're counting someone for a minion, you could make them very uncomfortable if you don't know. So I just assume I don't know. You know, I don't. I try to avoid circumstances where I'll make someone uncomfortable, like a zimun at the Shabbos table and stuff like that. I'm saying it could have relevance. It could be nice. You could be nicer to someone if you know that. And nonetheless, I generally don't know. But we had numerous instances where guys were in the department, and no one knew that they were undergoing giyur. Everyone thought they were chozrim b'tshuva. And then they met a girl, and it went really well. And then somehow she found out that he had converted to Judaism. And it took her by surprise. And I can tell you that in the end, all the instances I can remember, they got married in the end. But it definitely took her time to swallow. And I would have chosen to give her that information a little bit further in the contact, you know. Each person has to decide.
No, what you just said.
In these instances, these were guys who I told them, like I say always, you shouldn't get married in less than 30 dates. So I think there's room to discuss it. If you're going to date 30 times, so there's room to discuss it and date 8, 9, 10, 11, somewhere around there, depending on how the connection evolves. You know, a third of the way in. For someone who's dating 7 dates, so then date 2 carries more weight. Date 2 and 3, I'm saying. But if you're going to date 30, 35 dates, so somewhere around date 10, a little before, a little after, depending on how your connection has developed. So that's a part of who you are that you're going to have to think about sharing. But in all those instances, I was very upset. I called up one person who told the girl's family, and I said to him, by what right? By what right did you share that information? You know, it's his personal information. Who gave you the right to share that information? It's one of the few times in my life where I actually called someone and gave him tochacha. I said, you know, you might have just destroyed the shidduch. The girl's father calls me up and says, why didn't you tell me? And I said, because I don't think you have a right to know yet. He didn't tell anyone, and he didn't want you to know. So Hashem made it that you found out. Fine, I can't stop that, but who said you have a right to know? Just because you want to know doesn't mean you have a right to know. A person is entitled to keep certain information private until a certain point in the connection.
What if you never reveal that information?
That's a problem. Then you're not really open with the person if you're never going to tell them a part of who you are.
Doesn't all this point towards a simple fact that, although I tend to agree with you, and I don't think it's an easy thing to share maybe immediately also, is it really a good idea to go like that? Basically, if you holding it back, whether it's 5 days or 10 days, or you never tell it, it's going to be a problem. And you're kind of, it's a reinforcing dynamic that influences the whole culture, that everyone is going to keep it secret that they did cure, but actually it's a good thing.
You can approach it that way, and that's legitimate. A lot of students approach it that way, but if the student chooses not to, I think we have to respect that.
Sure.
So that was my point. These students chose not to, and I felt we have to respect that. I didn't say I recommend it.
You're right.
I'm saying if a student isn't publicizing it, then we have to respect that desire. I agree with you. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. And those who have prejudice, well, they don't know halacha. The prejudice is reverse prejudice, you know. Affirmative action. The halacha says we're supposed to treat someone who underwent giyur more positively. I don't like saying this in front of guys, but now that we don't live in the community, I could tell you. When we were living in the community, so we'd have guys over for the meals, right? Once a Shabbos or every other Shabbos, we'd have guys over. So whenever I had to decide who to invite, all things being equal, I would always choose the ger first, because it's a bigger mitzvah that I had, to have a ger over for a meal than someone else. So you like everyone, but the gerim always ended up coming for more meals, because the halacha expects you to be prejudiced in the other direction, to treat a ger better than you treat everyone else. Mm-hmm. I'm saying... everyone needs to know what Shabbos is.
Right. I know, and Rabbi Shvecha says, if you marry a ger or a Baal Teshuva, it's like getting the Tayag mitzvot.
You have it? Yes.
So the Chafetz Chaim, from what I understood, gave two conditions. He said, one, the person can't be there. They're not in the presence of the person. And second is that if it would shame them. But what if, like, you know that bringing something up in their past, like saying he's Baal Teshuva or whatever, wouldn't shame them? Then that becomes okay.
We'll discuss that later on. Meaning, sometimes a person makes information public. There are people who make it public. Rav Listman openly says that he learned at Machon Meir, as does Rav Dinkevich and Rav Sperling. They make that information public. So then they're obviously sharing with the world the information that they themselves are chozrim b'tshuva. Once a person makes that information public, so that's public information. I don't have to worry that they don't want me to say that over. They're proud of it, and they have every reason to be proud of it, so I'm allowed to talk about it. That's why I mention it in class, and that gives people koach. People say, oh, wow, look at them. Rav Listman came here as a student, and now he's the head of the department. Okay, that tells you where a person can go. Rav Bigun says in his speeches over and over again how he grew up in the kibbutz, and how he first learned what Tanakh was, and how he corresponded with Rav Tzvi Yehuda when he didn't yet know what Shabbos was, he didn't know what tefillin was, he was doing the army. He shares those stories publicly, so obviously... He's a big person, and he's not embarrassed about his past. On the contrary, he's proud. Look at what he's accomplished. I'm saying so. Yes, there is a circumstance where a person says, "I make that information available publicly, and as such, I'm showing that I'm not embarrassed by it." And you could also share that information. There is the personal aspect. Sometimes you don't know, and when you don't know, you have to be more careful. There are, for sure.
So you cannot always say, just because you're in a fun year, then you must be able to do that.
You're right. There are students here who are mitchazek and not necessarily chazev tshuva. You're right.
I heard once that there's a halakha that if the person is present and you would still say it in front of them, then it's less strict about what's considered lashon
hara. We learned that. That was earlier in the book. We discussed that basically the idea of saying it in front of him is when I'm saying something which is not necessarily negative, and the question is, what are my intentions? It could be understood as, he's American. He's American. Which did I mean to say? Is it a positive or a negative? Well, if I would say it in front of him, then that shows that I mean to say it as a compliment.
Why would anyone do that?
Spoken like a true... Englishman, right? Ela afilu im ra'ahu zeh mikarov beno leben atzmo she'asa davar she'eino ro'i al pi din. Let's say he personally witnessed how someone did something that was improper. V'hu me'advarim she'ben adam la'makom. And he did something that's between him and his creator. He saw him on Shabbos turn on a light. We're not talking about something he did to his fellow man. Gam ken asur leganoto bazeh afilu she'lo befanav. You're not allowed to shame him about this. We'll see details later on. But the general rule is, even though you saw him doing something wrong, you saw the guy walking into McDonald's and eating a cheeseburger, you're not allowed to talk about it. You're not allowed to say it to other people. If you know that the guy is an apostate, okay, so then that's a different deal.
Something dangerous to others.
Right. That's correct. Okay, so what we learned today is that even if the person is not present, and even if what you're saying is true, you're not allowed to tell over something that would possibly shame him, something that he would be embarrassed about. And examples of this would be mentioning his past, his parents' past, something that he's not so proud about. Even if he's not embarrassed, if your intention is to shame him, That's also not...
If you've got a Jew who's intentionally doing something awful and he's totally proud of it, and he openly says it, and it is...